Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Real Talk with Ben podcast. I am back again this week, not only with myself, because obviously I'm in the title, but I'm here with a special guest who, if you watched the Baseline podcast with Josh and I, you know that Aaron filled in a couple weeks ago with, you know, some March Madness, which has been crazy besides the point. But I'm happy to have Aaron here on the podcast. He has an amazing story of what God has done in his life and how far God has really brought him. And I've known Aaron since my freshman year of college. I've known him for a while, and he's a guy with a great heart and loves sports and many things in common that we have. But Aaron, thank you for coming on the podcast, taking time out of your day to just talk about what God's doing.
Yeah. Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate it. It's good to be here and excited to just kind of hang out and talk with you for a little bit.
Dude. Absolutely. Absolutely. So Aaron, I know you grew up in Ohio, obviously like me, you know, we're just Ohio kids that, you know, grew up in the cornfields, Ohio, but
that's right.
No, in general, what's your testimony? You know, like where are you from? What's kind of the story behind you and your family and how what's growing up like?
Yeah. So very much grew up in the cornfields of Ohio, quite literally, like fields basically surrounding my house about 30 minutes west of Columbus. So yeah, I grew up in Ohio. Both my parents met at Ohio State. So just a huge Ohio State fan. I feel like that probably goes without saying, but definitely indoctrinated there from an early age. But just grew up in the country, really enjoyed it, was homeschooled, K through 12. So that was kind of a unique thing and honestly a huge blessing. And I think that's part of my testimony too, because I was blessed to be raised in a home where both my mom and dad were believers, were strong believers and really, really taught and instilled in me what that meant. And I specifically remember, I think I was 8 years old and I don't know what I did, but I got in trouble and for whatever reason, and I was sitting in my parents' room, like definitely in trouble. Don't remember for what, but for whatever reason, in that moment, it hit me that dang, I messed up. Like I am not perfect. I sin, and I need help. And I need Jesus in my life.
Yeah.
And so for whatever reason, that moment of getting in trouble when I was 8 years old, when my mom came and I talked to her and said, hey, I need to pray and accept Jesus into my heart. And I did, and still got in trouble after that. Like, you know, it didn't make the consequences of what I did go away. But yeah, distinctly remember, sitting there with my mom praying that, that Jesus would come into my heart, and he did. And I think it was certainly a lot of growth from then on through high school, and was able to stay pretty involved in youth group, and was able to get plugged into church. So very, very thankful for those years. And then, as you mentioned, Ben ultimately ended up at Cedarville.
It's cool to hear, because obviously I grew up in a similar, you know, environment, only I went to public school, right? Where like I kind of, like I say, like my dad always used to tell me, they wanted to drop me into the war zone. You know, they wanted to let me feel that. What would you say? You have friends obviously that went to public school, you know, in college or whatever, you met them or whatever. What would you say was I think a bonus for being like homeschooled in that kind of, you know, life, I guess, compared to maybe someone that like myself that was in a public school? Like, what were some of that pros and cons from that growing up with a Christian faith and that sort of thing?
I think the pros, just from first a school perspective, like I'm just a very independent person. So it enabled me to kind of do, especially in high school, maybe not, you know, middle school and younger grades as much, but like, especially in high school, like I got to be very independent and got to kind of plan my own school schedule, which was awesome around March Madness time, where I could work and get like a week or two ahead and then just, you know, watch basketball a week. That was pretty amazing. So there was some great practical benefits there, but I think, I think having a very solid biblical worldview, that's not saying that you can't have that in public school.
Course,
there's advantages there. Like to a certain extent, I was raised and had, you know, all the curriculum was, you know, biblically integrated, and that's all great. But on the other hand, I don't know if I had as many chances to share my faith, because I just simply grew up with probably 99% believers, which that's a blessing, certainly. But there's obviously the flip side of, that's great that you're around believers like constantly, but you are supposed to go and share the gospel. And so that's kind of something I grappled with in high school and even at Cedarville too. It was a very similar situation. And I know you can probably speak to that too, where Cedarville, just so many blessings of being in such a Bible-based campus and with so many great people around, but also like, where are you going and sharing the gospel when, again, 99% of the people that you were spending all of your time with are believers. Yeah. It's interesting. It's kind of a double-edged sword, I guess, if you want to call it that.
Yeah. And it's one of those things too, where I think, and you speak of Cedarville, cause that was kind of like where I was going to go next here. Cause that's part of your story too. Like the testimony of, for both of us, you know, like, that's what did make, I think, Cedarville interesting, was that you have people like myself from public school, grew up it with my whole life, and then people like yourself and people that went to private school and like all these different walks of life. Do you think that at times you did feel that, like, where can I share my faith? Like, was there times in college where, like, obviously you were in Heart Song, so you had, I think, more opportunities to share in certain areas, but do you think at times when you're going through school through a whole year, you're like, I feel like I'm just going through a pattern, kind of like there's no shift, or I haven't put myself out there enough to share the gospel?
Yeah, I think I definitely had, I know I had those thoughts in high school and in college. I think to a certain extent, I did have some outlets, like you mentioned, and we'll get into the kind of my story from Cedarville, cause that's kind of a big part of my testimony that I haven't touched on yet. But I know in high school, I did have the opportunity with youth group to go on missions trips and to interact with people in that way of, you know, obviously some non-believers there, but just like in my everyday life, really didn't interact with a ton of people. Cause I went to a private school part-time to play sports and to get involved in music. And even then, like, a very, you know, great school, Christian school, but again, like, where, how am I reaching people with the gospel? And to a certain extent, yes, that's true. But on the other hand, it's also, you're getting trained to then go out and share the gospel at a later stage. And so that was kind of what I was grappling with. I'm like, well, maybe there's not so many people that I'm interacting with on a day-by-day basis, but the training I'm receiving through, you know, whether it was just homeschool or youth group or later on at Cedarville, and now out in the real world, I guess, if you want to say that, where probably in my workplace, I'm probably one of few Christians, kind of the opposite of what I have experienced. So it's all God's timing and his plan. And I think that's the biggest thing.
Yeah. And it is cool to hear that. Cause I think we all need to be reminded of that. Like, you can grow up one way and then be tossed in the real world. Like, you know, I became a missionary in a country where I don't speak the language. I teach right now in a country where I don't speak the language. There's days where I'm like talking to kids and I'm like, how do I talk to you? But it's a great learning experience. Speaking of learning experiences, we'll shift into this, probably the biggest chunk of your testimony and really where God worked through you. And I remember, you know, I knew you briefly through Johnny. So if you guys don't know, one of Aaron's co-hosts on his podcast, his sports podcast, Fifth and Goal podcast, is Johnny Gaunt, who happened to be one of my really good friends going through college. At the beginning of college, we got stuck in business class together. That's a long story, but and then now, obviously, you know, you've been friends with him since what, childhood?
Yeah, right? Like seventh grade.
Yeah, pretty much for a long time. So, speaking of Cedarville, tell us about your journey in Cedarville, why you chose Cedarville, and then leading into the real battle that you had, both physically and then as well just through a time of change and things like that.
Yeah, I kind of just generally knew about Cedarville. It was about an hour from my house, also in the cornfields. But I went there for basketball camp. I want to say it was maybe the summer after my sophomore year.
We had to go together then, because I went after my sophomore year.
There's a
great chance that we were at the same camp, but we didn't even know.
I'm not going to say dunked on you, cause I've never dunked on anyone in my life. I probably like blocked you, but just barely, you know, like a really like unathletic play. I don't know. Anyways,
we both run athletic.
Yeah. but yeah, absolutely loved it. Stayed in Lawler Hall, which is where I ended up all 4 years at Cedarville. So that's kind of funny. Great place. Yeah, really just fell in love with the campus. Ended up like that was the only place I applied. Went back later for
which, by the way, I want to pause you as a guidance counselor now. As I'm working with seniors, I feel how stupid I was because I was the same thing for me. And I'm like, I'm giving their advice, like, yeah, make sure you have 4 or 5 options. And I'm like, man, I had one option. Man, I was a bad kid. I was a bad student.
I mean, I feel like it's different for every person.
Yeah,
for sure.
True. Yeah.
Yeah, that was really the only place I applied. And I think I went back. I started taking some classes in high school. Mm-hmm. So I went back for like an actual campus tour. But yeah, just like fell in love with the campus. And yeah, that was kind of the only place I was interested in. And so yeah, I arrived freshman year. I had some background playing music. That was kind of part of the homeschool curriculum that my mom put in place. Like myself and my two younger brothers. Starting at the age of 5, you just took piano lessons. That was part of like, you know, what you did in our homeschool.
Yeah.
And so thankfully my parents made me stick with it because there was definitely times in middle school where I was like, this is lame. I don't want to do this anymore. But they made me, you know, keep practicing and keep doing it. And eventually once I reached like probably 8th grade or high school, I started really enjoying it. Got to start playing in youth group, led youth group worship for a couple of years. And then once I got to Cedarville, I tried out for Heartsong, which is their basically their traveling music ministry. Landed on a Heartsong team, and that was a really cool experience. Got to travel to different churches during the year, and then I traveled on a, like a 10-week summer tour, basically just leading worship at different youth camps, and that was a really cool experience. But yeah, like you mentioned, during that time, basically in April of my freshman year, I started not feeling well at all. Had what I thought was a stomach bug. At one point, I thought it was a stomach ulcer, was just not sure what was going on, and had a bunch of tests run, even had a test run for lymphoma, which is a kind of cancer that came back negative, which you'll hear why that's ironic here in like 2 minutes. But yeah, went on tour that summer. It was a really great tour, but really, really challenging. Was never quite right health-wise. Still could not figure out what was wrong. I think I probably worried my mother to death. She was sending me, you know, all the vitamins and medicine that she could find that could possibly like help me. At one point I got pulled out of summer tour because we thought it was an issue with my appendix. So we thought I had appendicitis, was going to have my appendix removed in the middle of summer tour. Ended up that wasn't the case, came back to tour, finished it. And then in August, they did a biopsy of a lymph node. Once I got back from tour, had a biopsy done on a lymph node, found out that it was lymphoma, even though that had been tested for previously and came back negative, that I did in fact have Hodgkin's lymphoma, which again, yeah, is kind of cancer that affects the lymphatic system. So that was, as you might imagine, quite a shock. I don't think any 18, 19 year old is ready to hear. You're never ready to hear the words you have cancer, but I think at 18 and 19, where you're, you know, otherwise healthy, you know, that was pretty, pretty crazy to be diagnosed with that. So from there, I went through 3 to 4 months of chemotherapy. And you know, I thank God that, you know, through the wisdom of doctors and God's healing, that I was fine after, you know, the cancer was gone after those 3 or 4 months, but that was, right in the fall. So it would have been my sophomore semester, started my sophomore semester. Mm-hmm. So, and went through all the things that happen when you go through chemo. So, you know, was incredibly sick, you know, lost all my hair, gained a bunch of weight, you know, all sorts of crazy stuff. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it could have been much worse too. Like, you know, I thank the Lord that if you're going to have a kind of cancer, that's one of the most treatable kind of cancers to have is Hodgkin's lymphoma. Now, because it's treatable, they do treat it really aggressively. So it was a, pretty aggressive treatment for 3 to 4 months. And yeah, so that happened in the fall. I actually ended up back at Cedarville in the spring, which was a blessing, but also an incredibly difficult time because, for a variety of different reasons, obviously still weak from the chemo, my whole world had been kind of turned upside down. And one of the things, what chemo does, kind of generalizing here, but it kills fast growing cells, which is the cancer cells, but your brain cells are also fast growing. So, it kind of really messed with my brain, like had a lot of like cognitive almost impairments, I would say. So kind of was dealing with all that. So there was the physical side to what I was going through. There's also the mental side of what I was going through, trying to figure out how to go back to college and study and do all those things when my brain had basically been really affected by it. And so, that was like a huge, huge adjustment. I was going through some just depression from that time, just of, you know, everything that I'd been through was pretty intense. Ended up back at Cedarville taking classes. And I should say, before I move too far to where I am now, during that time, my now wife, who we've been dating for like 6 months, so this is insane to me, but she would come visit me in Columbus where I was, just hanging out, going through chemo. She would visit me from Cedarville like once a week, twice a week. She was taking an insane course load, trying to juggle that, trying to see her recent boyfriend who's now got cancer. So she was like, absolutely incredible.
So you had to marry that woman.
We're now married for a little over 2.5 years, but like, she was absolutely incredible. Do not know what I did to deserve that. Had so much support on campus. There were so many people that, had shaved their heads for me and support. And I was getting so many letters, and there was, I'd get notifications of these prayer groups on campus for me, like absolutely insane. Some of the churches that I had visited while I was on Heartsong, like getting messages from them, like across the country that they're praying for me. So just absolutely incredible. Like, wow. Felt the support of those people so closely, but like felt God's presence so closely too. That was just a huge blessing in the midst of just a really, really difficult time. Even at one point, my mom and I were watching Cedarville's Chapel in the hospital, and she's like, "Oh, that's so funny. This guy's got a shaved head that was, performing, or that was, leading worship." And I'm like, "Yeah, that's because of me." So that was cool. That was a 4-month period, then kind of went through a period where I was just trying to recover. Like I had like trying to refigure out what my personality was, because, there was a lot of effects on my brain. So I'm thankful that I made it through Cedarville, got all my classes done on time. Seriously, that's...
You actually beat me, by the way, which is kind of...
I mean, I had some classes going in from high school, so that probably helped. But
that's because I was just dumb. I was just a dumb high schooler.
I don't know about that. But and that's truly just like the Lord's work. Like, there's absolutely no way that... I should have been able to do that, but so thankful for his provision. Now, a little over 5 years cancer free, which
that's the awesome.
5-year mark happened in November. That's huge,
so cool.
pretty a huge mark as far as just like scientifically the chances of it coming back, whatever. So I mean, that's a huge part of my testimony. Like, yes, obviously, like when I accepted the Lord, at 8 years old, like that's kind of the foundation, but man, the growth, that I've seen in the last 5 years, and not because of what I've done, but because of, God's mercy in bringing me through a situation like that. And, so that's probably a kind of a rant, but
no, that's awesome.
But hopefully that kind of, kind of covers that whole situation. And that's obviously a huge part of my story. So,
I know, like, that's something that, like, obviously I was a student at the time, Aaron and I, same age. So like I knew of him because through Johnny. And so I knew the story, and it was obviously like Aaron said, like, it was a very, everyone at Cedarville knew, like, you might've never met Aaron before, and you might've been an engineer student that, was, somewhere in some library studying, and you knew who Aaron was. But I think one thing I thought I would ask you, Aaron, is what were some of the lessons that you learned through this? Not just lessons in the sense of, obviously, you saw what God was doing, but like even some of the little lessons that you might have seen through this time, and as you were going through this, like, what were some of those things that stuck out to you? Because I know for me, like, just watching you over the years, like, it's obviously that you've learned some things and you're able to now use those to further his kingdom.
Yeah. I think one of the big ones is, where is your identity at? Because I'm a very, for those that don't know me, this will not come as a shock. For those that don't, here's a little tidbit. I'm a very competitive person.
And very
really enjoy basketball.
Very.
Still out there trying to ball, even though I'm old and can't really move very well, but, love basketball, right? Like, played all through high school, was kind of, loved it, still do. but like consider myself somewhat athletic, right?
Yeah.
And then, you know, you get cancer and you basically are just stuck on your bed for 4 months and don't have energy and can't really do anything even if you wanted to. So I went from, the athlete, which I was not that athletic and even in high school, but in a more real sense, like,
yeah,
I found out that, hey, maybe my identity was wrapped up in the fact that I played basketball or the fact that, you know, maybe I was, you know, taller than the average person and could shoot a 3-pointer better than the average person.
Yeah.
Like that hit home, like, dang, when that's removed or when all else, and really all else, right? When all else is removed, when you're stripped down in that state of being so sick and so weary, where's your identity at? And I think that's true for a lot of people that go through anything that, you know, that's really difficult. It shakes you down to your core and you find out pretty quickly whether or not God is it really truly at the center of your life. And I think that was a big awakening for me. Like, yeah, it's easy to just say that out loud. Like, yeah, Jesus is my identity. But when you go through those times where you really have a chance to put that faith to the test, is he? And I think that was the biggest lesson I learned, that it's all about God being my identity and not anything that I can do. It was a painful, but probably a really, really good and growing reminder, that apart from God, I truly cannot do anything.
That is
so that was a huge lesson. And I think just the other takeaway is, how important other people are and how important the community of believers is, whether that's in the church or your group of friends, or how important that is, because I know firsthand how much I was blessed by so many people surrounding me in a difficult time.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, I think we all can attest to that, you know, like I remember like when this is not related to anything you were going through, but like when my grandfather passed away, it was kind of the same concept with family. Like I just took them for granted. And I don't know about you, but like, is that something that times when you're laying there, like, man, were you ever thinking like maybe I wasted time with this person or I didn't, you know, have the conversations I need to with people? Like, did that ever hit you in that time?
I don't know if that specific thing did, but I guess in a similar vein, it kind of similar to your identity. Like it does strip down to what's like important and not important.
Yeah.
Like a lot of the kind of outside worries of the world kind of go away when you're in a situation like that. So I think if anything, yeah, maybe it refocused my attention on what really matters.
Yeah.
Again, like I said, kind of develop like being intentional in developing relationships with believers, that you can be just open and honest with. And, you know, I hope someday that, and I've had chances here and there, but like, I hope someday when people close to me are going through really difficult times, that I'm there as much as the people close to me were there for me.
Yeah, that's awesome. And to finish up this part of your life before we talk about sports and where you are now, what was one scripture verse or, you know, a piece of scripture that really was put on your heart in this time of trial, but also as you got out of this trial and into, you know, trying to work through all of it?
Yeah, there was a bunch of scripture that got me through that situation, but I think one that sticks out even to this day is Psalm 23, and especially verse 4, when it says, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil.
Yeah.
For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And like, dang, I felt like I, you know, lived that for quite a, you know, long period of time to actually go through something that felt like the darkest valley. But at the same time, like, I don't think I've ever felt God's presence so close to me. There was a ton of peace in that situation too, which I know sounds crazy, when you're going through something like that, but it's true. Like, I feel like I kind of lived that out for a period of time. So.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think I will agree with you when you said there's like many scriptures. I feel like whenever someone asks you that question, it's like, well, I mean, technically there was like 6 or 7, but you know, this one stuck out or whatever.
I've actually thought about that specific question a lot more recently. I don't know if I'm ever going to do this. Mom, if you're listening to this, you should just skip like 2 minutes, but I thought about getting a tattoo, like right above where my scar is, where my port was put in, like with a verse that, like, you know, was super meaningful in that time. And I really haven't settled on one. And so we'll see if that happens, but
don't worry. Once you go down the tattoo train, my friend here in Hungary, he got one and now he's on like 7. So I'm warning you.
I also don't want that. I don't think so. We'll see.
You got to ask the wife first. You got to ask the wife first, right?
Oh, she'd be down for sure. Oh, she'd be down.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
If anything, I'm stopping her from getting tattoos, but anyways, well, yeah, mom, you know, you didn't hear that. So,
so you obviously went through that, and mm-hmm. I know as the time of your time at Cedarville, you got more and more involved with certain things. I know your major in Cedarville was sports management, correct?
Yep.
Yeah. So sports management, if you don't know, it's basically the sports world, but the business side of the sports world type, all that mixed together, thrown together pretty much, right? Sum that up pretty good. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. So where did your love for sports come from? And what was your first memory that's like, man, sports are like the thing that I love? Because as an Ohio kid, I can kind of feel where you might be going with this.
Yeah.
But I just want to hear what you had to say.
I don't even know. Because again, I was the most unathletic kid. Like I played basketball in like fifth or sixth grade. I scored 1 point the whole season, like my first year. And it was on a free throw. I don't remember really anything about it, but my parents say to this day that I was actually like deathly afraid of the basketball. I would not go near it, which is so funny. But I distinctly remember being 5 years old, and I remember hardly anything from like that early in childhood.
Yeah.
And I distinctly remember watching Ohio State's magical 2002 season where, you know, they went undefeated. They were the first ever 14-0 team. They beat Miami in the national championship. I distinctly remember watching that game. My parents allowed me to stay up. That was a big deal. I stayed up, watched the game, yelled a bunch when they won in double overtime. Distinctly remember my 2-year-old brother at that time waking up crying because we were being loud. And I don't know what it was. Obviously, you know, the fact that Ohio State won the championship, I think was pretty cool. And just absolutely fell in love with it then. In my 5-year-old brain, I'm like, oh my gosh, I get to root for the team that never, ever loses. This is incredible. Obviously, I think they lost to Wisconsin the next year. And that kind of burst my bubble of the fact that Ohio State never loses. They do. Thankfully not as often as some teams, but so just from there, like just fascinated with sports. And it kind of grew from there. Like I said, started playing basketball. I think at one point my parents were like, okay, you're far too obsessed to not play sports. So either pick baseball or pick basketball. And like, I didn't think anything of it, just picked basketball. And and that like that love has never gone away. It was sports business management as my undergrad. Loved that, and still trying to kind of figure out how I can get involved with sports now, but it's still a huge passion of mine. I absolutely love it. I don't know when you're watching this, but March Madness, we got the Final Four coming up. Baseball's true. About to start, the Masters. Like, dude, I love it all. I can't have enough of it. So
it's a good time. And I'll be honest, I see this thing. You think Aaron is like crazy about sports. You might think I'm crazy. Josh on the Baseline podcast is crazy. Wait till you meet Johnny. One time I'm gonna have Johnny on this podcast, because Johnny himself is like a walking encyclopedia of sports knowledge. Plus he's just Johnny. You know, it's Johnny, you know. So Aaron, it is funny because you say that, because I remember that game as well. In 2002, I as well was allowed to stay up late, and I was a public school kid, so I had to get up at like, you know, 6:30 morning, right?
Right.
And I remember going in the next day, and there was like a bunch of Michigan fans in my class. And all I remember was my dad told me to tell them to say, OH, go Bucks. That's all he told me to tell me. And I went in that day, and those kids still probably hate me to this day, because it was like the moment when the Michigan Ohio State thing was switching, when Ohio State really was starting to take over. And so that was just like the best moment of my childhood, I think, at that moment. If I know you mentioned the Masters, you mentioned the MLB, you mentioned basketball. What would you say is like your favorite sport to not only watch, but maybe watch and play, but what's your favorite sport to watch? Like, if you're going to sit down on a Saturday afternoon or, you know, a weekday, what is that one sport you're like, man, I hope it's on because I want to watch it?
I think it changes by the season. Like, usually whatever's in season's like, oh, this is my favorite. Like, I would probably tell you, man, college basketball might be my favorite, but now baseball's about to start. And I'm like, oh, I love baseball. And then wait till the fall when college football starts.
Yeah.
I think the answer is actually college football. But I will say I'm probably a bigger baseball fan than most. Like, I absolutely
love watching
baseball, love going to games. I will still support the Reds, even though they are one of the worst run franchises in maybe the most worst run
the franchise. the most
in all of baseball. It's really sad, but I love baseball. And I was actually really upset that we might have some games canceled due to the lockout. I know the lockout wasn't great, but we still have 162 games, so absolutely thrilled for baseball. So probably college football, but probably bigger baseball fan than most.
Yeah, I would agree with you. Baseball for me, and I don't know about you, but baseball is one of those games where it's like, it's just like the memory you have as a kid, I think, growing up. And like, I went to my first Reds game when I was like, I think 6 or 7, and going to the Great American Ballpark is like the greatest feeling to like walk around and be a part of your stars, right? Like, I played baseball for 14 years, 13 years, whatever it was. And I loved baseball. So I get what you're saying, but I will say I do switch. When fall comes around, it's football season. And like, people think it's so weird. Like, my mom used to think, cause I played video games, right? And I used to play a sport game, but I wouldn't play football during basketball season. I wouldn't play the basketball video game during baseball season. Like, I never would switch. So I agree with you. It's kind of like it once it switches, it's just the mentality switches. What is your favorite sport to play? I think we touched on this earlier when we were talking about earlier, but I'm guessing I know what it is, but what's your favorite sport to play?
Yeah, it's basketball. It's kind of the only one I like officially played. I will say I loved playing baseball just in the yard with my brothers, or quite frankly, whoever would play. And then I'm calling this a sport because it definitely is. I love spike ball. Spike ball's amazing.
Spike ball is fun. I'm terrible, but it's good.
I love it. Yeah.
So would you say,
this is a random fact, and this is super random, but I went to high school with the guy who he taught me how to play spike ball, but we won like 3 champion, like,
dude, that's
US
nice.
Championships in a row. So like, just ridiculously good. So,
and also spike ball,
I was a little spoiled because he like introduced me to the sport before it like really caught on.
Yeah.
So I'm not like really that good, but I've just had like 2 years more practice than the average person probably. So it just seems like I'm good, but
it is anyways. Funny. It is funny when you say that, because here in Hungary, it's starting to pick up. About 2 years ago is when spike ball started picking up here in Hungary. And it's really funny to watch kids play it. Cause it's just like, I'm used to seeing people at Cedarville and they're like really good. Yeah. And then you see these kids like, what do I do? Like, how do I, what's the point of this game? You know, type thing. But I will agree with you. Basketball is obviously a fun play. I will say Aaron is deadly. In intramural basketball when he played. I hated playing his Johnny, because Johnny has the worst, ugliest shot of all time, and yet it goes in.
True.
And yet somehow Aaron would just lift his team. Usually you had like one other guy that was pretty good, and then, you know, my team was always sucky, so I just kind of went with the flow. So intramurals, those are fun memories. But now I want to just say, before we move on to kind of what you're really doing now and what you're starting to start the process, what was one piece of advice? What was one piece of advice you got during your playing days, or maybe during, like, you know, just time you were on the bench or whatever, that really sticks with you today? Like, maybe advice a coach gave you that talked to you about it. Maybe it was your dad, or like, you know, what was that piece of advice?
I think it was probably just being in a team environment where you put in a lot of hard work and you work together as a team. I think just the whole team dynamic was, it just teaches you a lot of lessons. I was thankful to have, I think I had like, you know, 3 or 4 different coaches in, you know, through middle school and high school, but they were all like just amazing. My coach in middle school was just hammered I guess would have been middle school and then into high school a little bit, but just hammered the fundamentals. Like, you know, there was a couple of practices like at the beginning of the season where basically the only thing you did in practice was just shoot with like one hand and like just basic fundamentals. And our teams were never like, I went to this extremely small school. Our teams were all oversized. Like, we had a high, like K-12 was like 100 people, but it was a school that was known for being really tough, cause we were like so drilled on the fundamentals, and like pretty disciplined. And I think, a lot of those lessons kind of translate pretty seamlessly into life as far as just like hard work and discipline. And, like, I consider myself like a pretty, like I said, like very competitive, pretty driven person. And I think I learned a lot of those traits from, you know, just playing basketball, or, you know, working hard in the summer in our gym that had no air conditioning. And then, you know, the summer of Ohio, and it's like 100 degrees in the gym,
but awful.
You know, trying to get up shots up anyway. So I think just a lot of those lessons and
That's awesome. And I would agree with you. Summer in Ohio, when you play basketball and you're not on the varsity team, man, there were some hot days in those gyms with no air conditioning. And they always had to bring in those big fans.
Yeah.
They sit right at the edge of the hallway. And it's like, this is noisy. It's like annoying, but it feels good. So you just deal with it. So we're talking about, you know, sports, you talk about lessons learned, and now you've started this new journey. about a year ago now, I was one of the first guys to, like, I saw you doing this. I'm like, hey, I'm going to listen. So I came back from Hungary and I'm like, oh, Aaron and Johnny and them are all starting some. So I want to just listen. But you started this thing now, Fifth and Goal Sports. It was a podcast. It's now grown. Tell us about, like, what it is. Why'd you start it? When did you start it? And kind of the thought process behind it all. I know I've heard it, but a lot of people haven't.
Yeah. I mean, so Josh, Johnny and I, we've known each other since like seventh grade, and we've kind of always half joked, half been seriously like, hey, we think we're funny. We should start a podcast. And then I think the pandemic just gave all of us a little bit more time to actually like think about it. A lot of people like that was a, like everyone was either making bread or streaming basically during the pandemic. I chose the streaming route. For the record, my wife chose the bread making route. So I'm thankful we have both of those things, because now there's literally homemade bread in the room across from me. So that's fantastic. But anyways, so I was like, well, what do I want to stream? Like, I'll just play some games or whatever. And then I'm like, well, why don't I at least like, why don't we start this podcast? So Johnny and I, like, we just love sports. So that was an easy like topic that we could just talk about. Josh, probably like not the sports fanatics that we are, but because he's had to put up with us for that many years, like, is equally dangerous with his sports knowledge. And it's a fun dynamic. So we started a podcast. And then kind of as time went on, I was like, you know what? I really want to be involved in sports. I'm not working in sports. I'm, you know, working basically for the government, not where I thought I'd be working. But you know, it's been a blessing by itself. That's a whole different story, trying to find a job in the pandemic that God provided. The bottom line, I would really, really love to work in sports full time. Like, that's where my passion is. On the other hand, I don't know if family circumstances allow me to take some of the jobs in sports that require you to be working every single weekend till midnight, you know, every night. That's just not maybe the most practical thing for me right now. So I was like, well, what can I do to still, if not work in sports, at least have a hobby that is involved in sports? So it started with, the Fifth and Goal Sports podcast, and then kind of evolved from there, because I realized like, hey, I really enjoy doing this. So why don't I try to turn this into its own like sports media thing? So from the podcast, we've branched out. We have social media. So we've got our YouTube channel. We're on Instagram, we're on Twitter, basically in all the places. We have our own website that we post things like a mock draft for the NFL draft that's coming up, or Bracketology, or every week during the college football season, we kind of give a breakdown of here's what the college football playoff situation looks like, all of those things. But a lot of my time and effort in the last like month, year has been, man, how can I turn Fifth and Goal Sports like a kind of a passion project, a hobby? I'd love to turn it into a full-time job, where I'm kind of basically running a sports media company, I guess, essentially, but kind of not a Gen Z sports media company, like, but you know what I mean? Like very YouTube based, like very content. That's a better description.
Content
based. So I don't know where that's going to go. And a lot of the last year has been just kind of planning, listening to a ton of different marketing videos, how to, you know, trying to figure out video editing on the fly, a bunch of this stuff, but I've absolutely loved it. And I'm excited for the next few months, because I think it's really going to start to ramp up as far as just like the content that we're coming out with. And it's, again, it's a passion project. Absolutely love to turn it into a business. If that's kind of the direction that, that God has. And that's kind of where I'm at on that.
Yeah. I love that. And, you know, obviously the goal is obviously to turn it into something or whatever God would want it to be. And I'll tell you guys, if you haven't listened to their stuff, it's great because there's humor. Like you said, Johnny and Aaron are very like sports, like really just passionate, and you could sense that. Yeah. And then you have Josh,
the sports nerds.
It's funny because it's kind of like with Josh and I on ours, where it's like, I'm more of like, he's very passionate. I have the weird sarcastic dry humor that makes no sense half the time, but it works, you know, that kind of thing. But what would you say is, I know you've had many great memories. I've watched a lot of, obviously I try to watch every single episode. I listen to every single episode or whatever I can. I know you have a couple that I know are probably in this list. What are some of your favorite memories from doing the podcast, from having this, Fifth and Goal Sports?
Yeah. one that you're probably thinking of. I had the chance to, or we had the chance to interview Joshua Perry, who was a former Ohio State linebacker on our show, which is amazing. Cause the Ohio, you know, the Buckeye fan in me was just thrilled. Cause I mean, he won a national championship with Ohio State. We had him on right before, or it was either right before or right after the Ohio State Penn State game. I think it was right after.
Yeah. Because you guys reviewed the game. I believe.
That's right. Yeah. So we had him on then, and it was just,
As you can tell, I'm a nerd of your show.
Oh yeah. I mean, I was like, I don't get nervous easily, but like, I was definitely like, I really don't get nervous easily. I don't know why, but I was absolutely nervous for that interview, but it went well. And it was just crazy. Like, here's a guy that, you know, won a national championship with Ohio State, like had 20 tackles in a game or something crazy against Penn State in his career. So just to get down and like sit down and talk about Ohio State football with him was like, wow, this is really cool. And we've had a couple cool interviews since then. We got to interview an artist who designed Utah's helmets.
Yeah.
So that was really cool. And honestly, like at the end of the day, just getting a chance to like sit down and record a podcast with two of my best friends every week. Yeah. Like that's what I've said all along. Like if this goes nowhere, the fact that I just get to hang out with two of my best friends and record a podcast, like that's just a blessing in itself enough that like, I don't even care where this goes. Obviously. Yes. I would like with all my heart for this to turn into a business, but on the other side, like, man, it's just fun to like hang out with those guys and talk sports and
for sure.
And, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It is cool to see your heart in it. And I think, you know, I watched the very first couple few episodes and I can tell you guys it's come a long way. I remember watching the first
Encourage anyone to go back and go that far.
Please, I remember watching, you can attest to this, Aaron. I stayed up for the whole draft special with you guys.
I do remember that.
I stayed from the beginning to the end of that.
That was a lot of fun. We're going to bring that back too. So if you're an NFL draft junkie, Johnny and I are going to be running it back. We've got a bunch of guests. So I have this idea and you can tell me if this is a stupid idea. And I'm sorry, I'm getting us off track.
No, it's fine.
So for our stream, we had a bunch of people there last year, which was super fun.
Yeah.
And hopefully it's good again, but I want to give away a pizza on stream.
Yeah.
So I want people, like, I don't know, we'll find like a lull when there's like a team taking way too long or the Jets are making their fourth pick. Like, no one cares. And I'll pull up the Domino's website and Domino's, if you're listening, you can sponsor us. Podcast too.
We'll both take it.
And then we'll have people in the chat design the pizza. And then we'll give the pizza away to whoever's in chat. Like, we'll spin a wheel, someone will get it, and then I will ship the pizza to that person.
So,
I think
so it'd be amazing. So if I win, do you ship it to my brother?
You might not qualify.
Can I designate my father?
You could, you could designate your dad. You could designate someone. I feel like the rules would have to be within 20 minutes of a Domino's.
Yeah, of course.
Like, I cannot afford to pay like $50 in delivery, you know?
Yeah, that's true. No, I like the idea. I like the idea.
I think it'd be hilarious.
I love the idea.
Especially if the chat designs like a horrible pizza and then we still send that pizza to someone. Like, it's got like olives on it, or like, I don't know who eats olives on their pizza. I don't know. Anyways, I think that'd be super fun. So yeah.
Yeah. And that's the one thing is like, I love about Aaron in the sense that, you know, you're always thinking of something new and you're trying to grow it. And I think a lot of times, like for me, I think I told you this a few times, I went through like a stage back in the fall where I didn't make any content. I went through this content lull because I've been doing it for 2 years and it gets to a point, and if you don't keep it fresh. And so that's why, you know, this podcast has turned into more of this, where we talk about stories and your life and we discuss it. Right. And I think that's important. And what you do have done a great job of, and what Johnny's done a great job of, and all of you guys, all of you over there at Fifth and Goal Sports, is like, you're not making it so important that that's what your life is. You're making it as like, hey, this is an opportunity that we have to not only talk about sports, but also show joy and love and just have fun, right? Is what we need in this world. Like, I'm over here in Europe right now and there's Ukrainian refugees all over the place. And I was able to spend time with them this weekend. And that's what these kids need. That's what people need in this world. It's just fun and joy. And I appreciate what you guys do over there. Now, I mean, to finish up, what is the one big dream that you have for Fifth and Goal Sports? If you're looking at me today and you're like, Ben, in 5 years, this is where I hope Fifth and Goal Sports is as a platform, as a media outlet.
Yeah. So I'll give you the somewhat practical and then the not practical at all. Like, so I'll start with the practical. I think the practical is just like, if it's my full-time job, like it's grown to the point where, whether through YouTube or whatever, yeah. whatever the method is that I like, I get to do that full-time. And like, I'm even like hiring people, like that blows my mind. Cause I like, I'm so passionate about that, that that's so cool, to have something that's like my own that I love. And that honestly, like God's given me such a passion for.
Yeah.
That'd be amazing. And I don't know exactly in what context that looks like. The crazy, like this will probably never happen, but it's fun to think about, like if I'm ever like lacking motivation, like, I don't know if you're familiar with 100 Thieves.
Yes.
But basically like 100 Thieves, but make it sports. So where, you know, like you have this crazy compound where you're like creating content and, like, it's just almost excessive, but not like, but still practical. I don't know. Like you have this like big compound where you like, and I can like, I don't know that. You can make a bunch of content, like have like actual athletes like come and hang out and do stupid videos, like kind of some of the stuff like Dude Perfect does,
like Pat McAfee does, like with his his big place, and he does all the interviews and stuff.
Yeah, I think like that would probably be the ultimate. Like I've known I've made it as a content creator when like Aaron Judge is coming over to the place and like
the we're crib.
Hitting, but we're playing like instead of. I don't know, doing something normal, like a normal interview, like we're playing wiffle ball or something. Like we've got like a little yard out there and we're playing wiffle ball. Yeah. And I try to strike him out and he probably hits the ball and it goes through me. And then I fall to the ground and in my last dying breath, I know I've made it as a content creator, but, or something stupid like that. But that's not going to happen.
So
but.
My question is if you become like big time, do you like warp my show? Can I take the baseline like underneath Mythical Sports? See,
well, okay. So this is actually like legit, a little bit more real. Like I struggle with this part of it, right? Because in order for Fifth and Goal to succeed, it to a certain extent requires like me as a content creator to do well. And I struggle with that because I'm like, what part of that is my selfishness wanting to be popular and wanting to just like be cool.
Yeah.
And what part of it is like actually using the talents and the passion that God has given me to make a product that is benefiting people. And like, it in no way, shape or form, is it big enough where I have to worry about that. But like, I seriously, like, I think about that all the time.
Yeah.
Like where is my, and I'm glad I think about it. Cause I think it means I'm doing kind of the right thing, but I'm like, dang, I feel like I need to make sure that I'm in the word and checking myself that, again, kind of going back to what we talked about, that my identity is not in that I'm doing this thing that I love and I'm like being successful in it, but that my identity is in Christ and doing something for his glory that I'm passionate about. And I don't know where the balance is there. I know it's somewhere and I'm trying, but and it's fun to joke about, but like in a more real sense, like it's something I actually think about all the time. Like, where is the balance in that? I don't know the answer. Yeah. And at this point, it doesn't matter as much because it's just still this small thing that I just get to do for fun. But I don't know. I don't know. It's kind of weird.
Yeah. And I appreciate your honesty too, because I think that's something that we all struggle with. I think in any job, right? Like any career, like I'm a teacher and I'm dead tired by the end of the day. Right. And like, I have to balance that plus my marriage, plus coming and doing this stuff. Right. And you know, no matter what it is, right? Like I always say, the Bowden experience as a brand is more of my experience in life and my experience and what I've struggled with. I mean, most of my early videos are me just sharing like the heartbreak that I've went through, but it comes to a point where you have to balance though. When is, like you said, identity, where is our identity? If we're doing this, like if you're doing your podcast and I'm doing mine and all we care about is the views, the popularity, the things we'll get out of it, then are we really doing it for what's right? And I'll be honest with you, that's the part of the reason why I went through a block, because for that, you know, 3 month span where I wasn't making content, it was because I was so worked up on trying to be the best and trying to be like, I wanted to be out there and I was getting frustrated. And now I have this new idea of like, hey, let's just have fun, right? Like I love talking to you, Aaron, because I've known you for a few years and it's like, I love talking sports. I love talking about life. And that's what I want to have. And that, and I think that's what you want to have. And you want to be able to have that relationship with people when they listen to your show, you want them to be encouraged. Right. And I think that's really cool. So Aaron, I first off, I wanted to say, thank you for coming on the podcast. It's always great to have you on, whatever podcast you're on mine, but also just thank you for sharing your heart and really what God is doing. And I really do appreciate it.
Yeah. Well, thanks for having me on. And, yeah, I feel like in a setting like this, like sometimes I just space and kind of go off where my brain leads me.
Awesome,
so
man.
If you're listening and you want to talk, like if there's something you're going through, or like if you want me to clarify something I've said, like feel free to reach out to me on social media or whatever. Yeah. Or, and I know Ben, you feel the same way.
Yeah, same.
I'd love to enjoy having conversations like these. And I know I'm not always the most eloquent or my thoughts always make the most sense, but hopefully what I shared is helpful. And again, like I'm sure you'll, like if you find me on Instagram or whatever, I'd love to, and if you know, if you're going through something, I'd love to talk. And if there's anything that from what I've gone through that can help you, I'd love to help.
Yeah, awesome. And also, where is where can they find you on both, I guess, for Fifth and Goal, but also for yourself on social media if they would like to contact or follow Fifth and Goal Sports?
Yeah. Yeah. So, just me personally, probably Instagram is the one I'm on the most. So that's just at Aaron D. Lynn. And then as far as all the Fifth and Goal stuff, it is at Fifth and Goal Sports on Instagram and TikTok. And I think you can just search that on Facebook and YouTube. And then it's at Fifth Goal Sports on Twitter, because Twitter's dumb and only lets you have like 10 characters in your name. And fifthandgoalsports.com. And we've got a podcast on all the normal platforms and all that stuff. So yeah, if you're interested in sports and you're interested to see the content that we're making, feel free to follow us there. I would probably recommend YouTube the most. I also have like a personal YouTube channel that I haven't really posted to it recently. I think I'd love to ideally make content that's like behind the scenes of what I'm working on Fifth and Goal. Like kind of if it really is able to go somewhere, I'd love to have kind of a documented journey of starting from, you know, basically scratch and kind of working my way up to like building something. I think that'd be a really cool journey. So anyways, that's kind of all the places. So.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, if you guys love this episode of the podcast, then click that thumbs up button, hit that subscribe button, hit the notification bell on YouTube, because, you know, I would like to know that you like it. And then also you can see the other couple things I've done with Aaron. There's a one about right before Michigan beat Ohio State, which made both of us look like idiots. and then there's March Madness, which also made us both look like idiots, which, by the way, I did call a few of the upsets. I'm just saying in that whole.
Yeah. Between the two of us, we did okay.
And we didn't do great.
If you ignore all this places where we went wrong.
Yeah, that is true. We did fine. And if you like it, you can listen to this on both Apple Podcasts and all of the fun, you know, podcasting places that you can find it. So once again, guys, I just want to remind you that you're amazing, that God cares for you and God loves you. Until next time, we'll see ya.